Hang out. He's Jules, gray and yucky West London.
No, nice.
But it's okay because it's not gray and yucky in North London where Arsenal reside. It's not gray and lucky and yucky in Manchester. Well, probably is gray and yucky in Manchester. It usually is.
Yep.
But not in Manchester City's heart because, of course, they're still in the running for the title. That certainly not in Madrid where they won the title. So there's a ton to get into, Jules, but we got to start with Liverpool and Tottenham Hotspur. This was kind of like the last train for Spurs. And I watched them. I was at the game on Thursday night at Stamford Bridge. They were terrible. You're playing a Liverpool team that I don't want to say are kind of playing out the string, but I think they've given up on the Premier League title.
Yeah.
So I expected Spurs to be more engaging, more aggressive. And I'm sorry if I'm starting with Spurs, but like, and we love Ange, of course, but his big change is putting in another defensive midfielder, or another midfielder, if you want to call it that, right? No Madison, none of this Kulusevski and the whole nonsense. And nothing works. I thought there was that spell in the first half. Liverpool won 4-2. There were moments when they just could not get out of the press. It was like watching like Sandhausen play Borussia Dortmund in Klopp's heyday 12 years ago at Borussia Dortmund, in his Dortmund heyday.
I thought it was embarrassing first half. I won't lie. Maybe the worst first half of the season. I mean, I thought they were bad at Chelsea. I thought they were bad in the first half at home against Arsenal. I thought they were terrible at Newcastle when they lost 4-0. And by the way, this is their fourth defeat in a row in the Premier League. But I just never thought they could be that bad, even away at Liverpool, against a Liverpool team that, as we know, has not been great lately. So, but how to understand Ange's decision tactically on this, like you said, the 4-3-3 with the three defensive midfielders or three midfielders, it didn't really make sense. When Richarlison came on, that brought a bit more energy to it, to be fair, and they scored those two late goals, although the comeback was never really on. But yeah, I just don't really understand what's going on with Spurs. He says that he needs changes, different players, get rid of some that don't fit his style and invest money in new signings and new players. Okay, but at the start of the season, he was saying like, well,
everybody's fantastic.
Yeah, and he said the quote like, oh, often I hear managers saying, I would like to play that way, but I don't have the players for. Well, do it, mate. Still do it. Well, he's not happy with his players, so he's not doing it himself. So there's clearly a slight change in his own speech. But I just think he's right. He needs to change. Klopp changed his squad. Arteta changed his squad. Sometimes when you come with a clear identity and style of football, you need the players to go with it. It's absolutely fine. But I just still don't understand how they can be that bad right now.
Let's move it to Liverpool because we didn't see a 90-minute performance. I mean, Klopp's own admission. Some of that defending in the second half, especially the one where Johnson or someone where he did not finish. And, you know, Alexander-Arnold goes walkabout again. But it's a win, but it's kiss and make up with Mo Salah. So these things are good. But I want to chuck it forward to Arne Slot because I thought this was quite unusual. But he came out. And there's been no formal announcement yet, but he felt completely empowered to speak as if he was the new Liverpool manager. So obviously, I think, unless there's something wrong with him upstairs, we know he's the new manager. And I like the fact, and this is a taste of what's to come, that, you know, when they ask them, like, you know, will you speak to Jurgen Klopp, blah, blah, blah. What does he do? Does he say, well, no, well, that's between me and him, or doesn't evade the question? He says, yeah, I'd be stupid not to, if I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
Of course I want to talk to him, get as much information from him as I want about my new job. I'm not used to this pre-announcement.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he was very open, remember, even at the start of the negotiation, when he said, they're negotiating, I really want to go, I'm really hoping that it will happen. So he was always good like that. And you're right, he's right, obviously, to talk to Klopp. I would expect he will speak to Pep Linders as well, considering they are also both Dutch. And there's a lot to know from Klopp, for sure, but even from maybe the people in the backroom staff that have a different view than Klopp. Klopp is obviously the main guy. The others have maybe a slight different perception, slight different view. They can also bring some different information and things. So that's the way to do anyway. You know, I would expect I don't know, Lopetegui at West Ham to do the same. I'm not sure if Moyes would be as accommodating, but, you know.
We'll get to our man Julen. Sticking with Liverpool, it's not just the Elliott goal. I really, really like this guy. I don't know if his future is just Mr. Swiss Army Knife.
It shouldn't, right?
Because, okay, I think actually he can go back. He could go back to his original position and be really, really effective as a winger. He may not have the energy or the athleticism or the flat-out speed of a Luis Diaz or whatever. But I wonder if that's something Slot might be considering for him. But then again, but at the same time, he plays in the midfield three, as he's done mostly for the last couple of years. And he almost never makes a mistake. And he still has those moments of quality. I like the idea that he's what you call like a talent player who decides to put on a hard hat and become, you know, a blue-collar lunch pail grinder in the middle of the park. But he still has that quality, as we saw.
Yeah, for me, it should be a starter next season with Slot in midfield, not as a right-winger or left-winger, but somewhere in that midfield. I think
Szoboszlai, thanks you.
Yeah, but like, I know at some point you'll have to make choices, and maybe Szoboszlai can play on the other side or McAllister. I don't know what they're going to do, but he should start. I think he's... he's been outstanding this season, being in and out of the team because he's obviously not a guaranteed starter. I think he's got so much to offer. Like you, right, talent-wise, technically, in his own footballing ability. I think his IQ is getting better and better, the way he understands the game tactically and everything. He's so press-resistant, which he, in a way, I think even more than Szoboszlai. And he gives you that work rate that you mentioned that is quite rare when you have that kind of talent, that kind of left foot. I looked it up last night. In terms of key passes and progressive carries, which is really the two for a player of his profile, especially if you want him a bit deeper in midfield, this is the two really that you need to look at. Only him and Florian Wirtz are the best in Europe this season in the big five leagues. So it's him and Wirtz and then the rest. And I just think this is amazing, really, for someone so underrated in a way. Even himself seems a bit like... so humble that he even feel himself a bit underrated. I just think he's an incredible talent that you should really utilize more.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I wasn't just expecting to be a Valentine to Harvey Elliott, but we both really, really like the guy.
And the goal shows it as well.
I'm not a Liverpool fan, and I don't get to vote for Liverpool's Fan Player of the Year as a result, but I think, if you were to ask me right now, he would have my vote. I might have given it to Kanate if the vote had been in December, because you were telling me he's the best.
Even Darwin has his good moments, had his good moments through the season.
Let's not be silly.
No. Through the season, he had good moments.
But I knew you could make a McAllister case as well. But this guy, and of course, you'd always give it to Alisson because he's the most handsome. But still, it's got to be. I mean, not just got to be, but for me,
yeah, I agree.
He's on a different level. And I wonder if Klopp's going to look back and ask himself, could I have done more to integrate him? And equally,
maybe
you mentioned Szoboszlai there. We're saying this in the function of Arne Slot, right? Szoboszlai played in a more attacking role. I mean, obviously got a ton of freedom to go forward and whatever, but he's still part of that three. I wonder if we might see Szoboszlai back, maybe starting in a wide position in the front three or something like that. He's still very, very young.
Yeah.
But even if just to accommodate Elliott, I don't know.
Some big calls to make for Slot, especially in those three midfields.
And I think it's, you know, when we look at this, right, you can talk to some people who can be all negative and say, look, Salah's got a year left, Van Dijk's a year left, they make a lot of money, do they have to sell them or move them on or just, you know, what do you do with them? And, you know, we need this, we need that, we need that. But I actually think the raw material that he's going to have to work with is pretty good. Obviously, you want, I think, a specialist defensive midfielder who's not Endo, right?
Yeah.
But in the midfield, with the players we mentioned, you can chuck in Curtis Jones as well.
Yeah, Gravenberch.
Gravenberch maybe can get back. If he doesn't get back, whatever, maybe loan him. Maybe he can get back to level we thought he was going to be at. I mean, I think you've got so many different combinations, so many different options there.
Yeah.
Up front, I'm not a Darwin guy. I can appreciate what he does on a good day, but I think there's too many other days. I'm a big Luis Diaz guy. Jota, I think, can contribute for a while longer. Salah, as long as you have him. I don't know that there's too much to do there, I guess. And Gakpo,
I agree.
Who I've been hugely critical of, actually, I thought he turned
out really good on
really
Sunday.
Good game.
Sunday. Yeah, really
he's had a couple good games.
Yeah, I agree. I think Darwin is the type of number nine slot likes, i.e. Santi Jimenez, for example, that he can do a lot of good work with, and that just fits the style and the philosophy. So I would think there's...
More than Darwin.
No, Darwin likes Santi Jimenez. Oh, right. Darwin and Santi Jimenez are similar. They're similar players.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar profiles. And I think that's why I think Darwin can fit nicely in what slot will do. And that, you know, and I think slot probably would see the same way. It's on the right wing, I'm not really sure. What do you do with Salah? Does he want to stay? Do you want to keep him? If he stays, surely there can't be a new deal. Certainly not at his current wages. There would be make no sense at 32 years old. Would Slop want to keep him? So there's a lot of things for that. But for the rest, you're right. Diaz and Darwin, simply because I think that Darwin fits the slot style like Jimenez does. Those two, and then the midfield three, whoever he picks amongst all those options that we mentioned, and then at the back four.
So it sounds like other than a defensive midfielder,
yeah,
there isn't this great need for signings.
I agree.
If you roll with another year of Van Dijk and Salah, which I think is a bit of an if.
Yeah.
I talk about Salah. It does seem as if everything's forgotten. He turned in a really, really good
performance. Yeah. Also, I thought the goal celebration was interesting.
Oh.
Because I just thought it was like very simple, no, almost no joy by scoring. Well, usually he's not the most extravagant, let's put it, in terms of celebrations. But it's still usually more than just the header and then stopping and then that's it. That was it. That was his goal celebration. I don't know. I would like, but he never talks, which I understand. This is not his style. But I just would like to know how he feels right now and what he would have to say about his future. I think there's a lot. There's a lot for him to surely to say what happened with club, the season, how he sees it, his future, Saudi, I don't know, anything. You know, even about AFCON, Egypt, like loads of things, but we never hear from him.
Just because you're the guy in the techers corner, people made such a big deal about the chance that he missed, where it looked to me, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't play the level you played at, and I was certainly never a center forward, but... when the ball comes, there's a spin to it where I think had that been a center half, you would have tried to side foot it, or instead it looks to me like he tries to flick it, but because there's backspin on the ball,
yeah, maybe
that's essentially what happens. Right?
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was harder than it looked.
Yeah, when people thought missing the season, blah blah blah, I'm like, come on guys, like
that's... Yeah. I still would have expected him to score.
With a side foot or with,
well, anyway, I think. Right. But again, we
he's
go
right there.
Yeah, but we go back to the issues that has been the main issue for them in the last few weeks and months. They haven't been clinical enough, and yesterday it didn't matter because they were so good and so dominant, and they were more clinical, to be fair. But they still missed their chances. The one at the end for Darwin. There's still a lot of.
And they still screwed it up something fierce defensively.
Yeah,
in the last half hour.
Yeah. And to be fair, when Spurs came back to 2-2, it was the 77th minute.
4-2.
4-2, sorry. It never felt like, I don't know how you felt. I didn't feel like Spurs could come back. But you feel a bit like, oh, really? You were so in control and dominant and you concede those two goals that are so avoidable?
Yeah, but given what's happened with Liverpool, given their inability to play at their level for 90 minutes, I did wonder, okay, Spurs have the tools, you know, do they just keep attacking?
Yeah.
And they get caught in the counter or whatever. Let's talk about Tottenham, because this really feels like an unraveling. And what responsibilities does Ange have in your view? Because he does change it around. But then part of me also feels, you know what, if you go the whole season with a certain way of playing, right? We heard it, right? The goalkeeper has a fixed position, the center backs have a fixed position, the wingers stay wide, everybody else is free to go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But there are certain mechanisms, certain muscle memories that it gets into, certain chemistries that develop. When you then move away from the, let's call it 4-2-3-1 just for convenience, even though it's not really 4-2-3-1, and you put a third midfielder in there, and you don't ask him to play in the Madison role, or the, you know, the, you don't ask him to play in the hole. that has a big knock-on effect. It has a knock-on effect for the center forward, who was Son in this game. With three and the full in the middle and the fullbacks stepping into midfield, which again you want to do, unless you work on it, and as far as I can remember, I think this is the first time that they've done it before, right? And you played on Thursday night, so you really only had one training session. I don't know if that's... I mean, is that what he paid the price for? Was he trying to surprise?
I thought that was a ridiculous choice. I won't lie. But I'm sure there was an idea behind it. But it looked weird at the when we got the team sheets. It looked even worse watching it at the start of the game because it looked like they didn't know what to do at all. And I think Bentancur, Bissouma and Sarr are good players. It's about their ability. It's just that you're right. When you've been so used to playing a certain way and drilled into that because that's all they do, then why are you changing now? And two, if you haven't worked on it, then it's going to be counterproductive. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I really don't know Spurs. I'm thinking about it this morning. Maddison was such at the heart of everything they did when they played well. And clearly he was at the center of the whole Ange ball. He was at the start when they were building up from the back. He was in the middle to offer a relay. And then he was often quite high on the pitch to be decisive with a goal, assist, second assist, all of that. He then obviously got injured. They still kind of coped without him. And then he came back, clearly not at his best, maybe not even fully fit, being dropped now from the team. And he feels that without him or someone like him, who is not Kulusevski, who's, I don't know if really they have another one, then it's a bit lost.
The only other one I think who can do that is Lo Celso, but he's hard to play this year and he's maybe not, and he's not, not in that in those conditions.
Exactly. So maybe it's that. I don't understand. Spurs, in the last three away games in the Premier League, have conceded 10 goals. Arsenal, in the whole season away, 13. So defensively, whether it's your 2-6 or 3-6, or, if you can't bet on Kua as a six, it's your defenders. The fact that Udogi is out injured, that Pedro Porro hasn't never been really that good defensively. Romero, Van de Ven, Vicario, I don't know, but there's clearly an issue defensively as well as in terms of creativity with Maddison being dropped on the bench for the last two games.
Yeah, the Maddison one is a weird one. It's not just the fact that he's been dropped, his performances haven't been good. There was also the other games, there was at least two games where he could have been sent off and he made some really poor. It just seemed that his mind wasn't quite right. And I think maybe that also contributed to the decisions he made. I think what I would find disappointing, and look, in the end, Spurs are fifth. I think it probably will finish fifth.
Yeah. It's a good season, yeah.
I don't think, when we look back, I don't think it's a bad season.
No,
there's a lot of players who've really grown. At the same time, though, from the player's perspective towards the manager, right, so much of it is faith and belief in what he does. And when you suffer a string of defeats like this, there's always the risk that some players, maybe some of your veteran players, lose a little bit of faith in what the manager's saying. You can be cynical about your manager if your manager is a pragmatist, and it'll still work because you understand the logic behind it. But because the way Ange plays is so out there, you can't necessarily. It becomes a lot. It's so much more important that he really have the whole team buying into it. So I think one of the most critical things is when he sits down and does a debrief or a postmortem of this game, he explains to the players what went wrong, what he got wrong, what Liverpool did right, what they did wrong, he says that maybe in this game there's certain things that they couldn't have done any better and then Liverpool still would have beaten them. But it's very important that he explains this to them in a way that they understand and in a way that's convincing to them.
Yeah, I agree.
Beyond that, though, we remain Team Ange, right? Just wanted to be clear.
And he's right about changes in the squad. He has to. I just wonder how much money he will have to spend and also who he's going to offload.
What kind of players would you want to bring in?
Well, because he hasn't said what position he was not happy with, I don't know. I would think that probably midfield, as good as Bissouma and Sarr have been at times, maybe even Bentancur, I just don't think really. There was this, I don't know, because you were at the game, I don't know if you saw after, in the Chelsea game, where there's a point where he gets really angry Ange, shouting at the players to pass the ball effing forward. Because clearly at that time in the game, they were playing either sideways or backwards. And he got really angry, like I'd never seen him that angry. And saying like, pass it, with the F word, forward, pass it, you pass it forward, and you pass it forward. Because clearly it was not enough verticality, which we know is very important to him. So for me, he has to start there. I would expect him to sign a number nine for sure. Richarlison, as an impact sub, can be that guy, but he's not a starter for there. And I'm not sure Son is an Ange number nine in his style of football.
Because we want him from him, yeah.
So Ange number nine for sure, and then at least two central midfielders. So Højbjerg will go. I would expect one of...
I'd imagine Skip will go as well.
Yeah, Skip. Maybe one of Bissouma Sarr or Bentancur. And then you get an upgrade there.
I think one of them would need to be somebody who can also fill in for Madison effectively. Mm. But work to be done. But yeah, I still think, you know, have faith in Ange. He's doing things differently. He can do things better.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, enough Spursiness. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Real Madrid beat Cadiz 3-0, and that result, coupled with Barcelona's defeat, means they win their 36th Liga title. Jules, put it in context for us.
I guess one of the easiest titles ever, you know, of those 36. They were so good, so dominant, by far the best team in the league. I think only one defeat, best attack, best defense, only 22 goals conceded, considering they didn't have their starter goalkeeper for the whole season, one of the two centre-backs for the whole season, pretty much in Militao. No Alaba for all the second part of the season. They have the player of the season in Jude Bellingham. Outstanding, really. That's why I wore the shirt of 02-03, yeah. Obviously, in tribute.
I'll go a little further. I mean, you mentioned the injuries. That is absolutely huge, using your two starting center backs and your goalkeeper for virtually the whole season. But just to go back, remind you, going into it, they don't have transition years at the Bernabeu, but this is effectively what it was. Carleto had a year left on his contract.
Yeah.
People were like, all right, just kind of like keep the seat warm. Karim Benzema had left. Karim Benzema, who, you know, last season at Madrid, he wasn't the Benzema of the past. Yeah, he's still due to score 31 goals in all competitions, right? And you replace him with somebody on loan who's 34 years old in Joselu. Let's be very clear on that. Let's be clear on the fact that you had to change your system completely, because all of a sudden you don't have a viable center forward until you have to come up and play the system with Bellingham at the tip of the diamond. Let's consider the fact that Toni Kroos, he's old, and you coaxed, he was perhaps Real Madrid's player of the season this year.
Yeah.
Although I would probably give it to Antonio Rudiger for his leadership. The fact that you had a potentially explosive situation with Modric. Modric decided to became an effective super sub, which is not what many people would have expected. There's so many individual tweaks, and ultimately, they played 49 games a season in all competition. Only one team has beaten them, and that's Atletico Madrid, and they beat them twice, obviously, in the Cup and in the league. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen against Real Madrid, against Bayern and in the Champions League, but this is a pretty ridiculous season.
It is.
When you consider where they started.
One of Carlo's best, for sure. And Barcelona 4-2 Girona, 4-2 just after Real Madrid beat Cadiz and slipped behind them in the table in third. Gab, they were 2-1 up with 25 minutes to go.
But I want to start here with praising Girona. For the season they had. Okay, we know the City Football Group, blah, blah, blah. It's not the perfect fairy tale story. But I think they still have the 12th highest budget in La Liga. And they may well finish second or third. It's just, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Right? So let's start with that. Porto scores a fantastic goal. Barcelona, I thought, were actually fine in the first half. But that defensive meltdown. I don't know who that is, who's impersonating Ronald Araujo at the back. But he's starting to infect players around. Maybe it was Koundé who infected him in bad defending. Let's hope Kubarsi doesn't get into it as well. It did feel like a meltdown. Obviously, they mix things up, but they have players missing. But it's a blow. It's a blow. Mm. Bayer Leverkusen rest a bunch of players, but still run rampant away to Eintracht Frankfurt, winning 5-1. Jules, if they avoid defeat against Roma on Thursday and Bochum away on Sunday, they will make it 49 games undefeated and beat Benfica's record, which stood for more than 60 years.
Yeah, I thought this one could be the banana skin, really, that it could slip on because it comes after the first leg of that semi-final against Roma.
And Eintracht motivated, supposedly.
Yeah, Eintracht obviously still in the European position, so I thought they would give him a go. And after 12 minutes watching Xhaka scoring that goal, you know, you knew there was just no way back. However, I didn't think they would batter them 5-1 like they did. And by the way, last season, just after Xabi Alonso joined, they lost 5-1 at Frankfurt. How funny, a year and a few months, 18 months, let's say, difference can make, because this team is just incredible. And Xabi Alonso was suspended for this game because he does take a few yellow cards when he moves to the referee. And even that, even not him being on the bench, didn't have an impact, even with all the rotation that they made and playing like a...
And Andrich at centre-back.
Yeah, playing like a B-team kind of thing, if you want. They're ready for Thursday, and I expect them to see that game out, considering the lead they have from the first leg. And then Bochum away. I just don't know who can stop them. And if they do finish with the treble, the league, the cup and the Europa League, plus a whole unbeaten season in the league and in the cup and in Europe, it would just be one of the greatest seasons of all time, all leagues combined. Roma and Juventus battled to a 1-1 draw on Sunday night, Gab. Who will be the happiest?
Well, I think Juve will, although Allegri was all grumpy again.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't be grumpy. Federico Chiesa, you know, occasionally he reminds us that, hey, look, on a good day, you're one of the best wingers in the world.
I love that.
This was one of those days. He looked so good, and you're just wondering, why can't you be fit all the time? For Roma, Tammy Abraham missing a late chance, just as he did against Bayer Leverkusen. Otherwise, I think they would have had the 3 points, maybe even deserved it. It's tricky for them. They have a 3-point gap over Atalanta for that final Champions League spot, but Atalanta have 2 games in hand. So I think it's going to be touch and go all the way. Arsenal stay top of the Premier League with a 3-0 win over Bournemouth. Jules, they don't control their fate, but they're putting as much pressure as they can on Manchester City.
Yeah, they are, Gav. They've got 2 more games, and they need to hope that at some point City will have 3 more games, because they've obviously got the game in hand against Spurs, will drop points somewhere. Away at Fulham, away at Spurs, or maybe at home to West Ham on the last day of the season. It's not going to be at home to West Ham, I can tell you that.
Stop it.
So they will have to see. But you're right, they're doing everything they can. They might finish the season with 89 points, the second highest tally ever, and not win it. It would be, if that's the case, they can, I think, still be very proud of their season. But City are a machine when it comes down to sprint in title races. So they might do it, and Arsenal can have a few regrets there and there, I think, around the season, but still have a wonderful season.
It is kind of the curse of Spurs, right? That if they stop Man City, it might not mean anything to them or affect them in any way, but it'll give Arsenal their first league title.
Which they're not going to do.
Okay.
Let's be honest. Bournemouth boss Andoni Iraola said that Kai Havertz took a dive, Gab, to get a penalty for the first goal in that game. Do you agree?
Well, look, if we look at it from a rules perspective, he leaves his leg in there. He drags it behind. He knowingly drags it behind. And that causes the contact. And so that's a foul. That's what the rules say.
Yeah.
You're not under an obligation. If a leg is there in your path, you're not under the obligation to jump out of the way, right? This is the interpretation. Did he play for it? Yeah. From an ethical perspective, is this the reality of football? Yeah, it is. I would certainly be extremely annoyed if Kai Havertz did that against my team. Manchester City, meanwhile, pummel Wolves 5-1, and Erling Haaland scores 4 goals before being substituted. Jules, he's in fine form, despite being trolled by Roy Keane.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I understand the whole Roy Keane obsession with Erling Haaland. So,
well, the Haaland family, we might even go back.
Yeah, but does he come back from that? Is it really from that? Is he like 20 years on now Roy Keane takes kind of some sort of revenge on the son.
Called him a spoiled brat as he came off the pitch.
Because he was not happy when he came off, because I think he wanted to stay and try to score a fifth goal.
Although Guardiola said it wasn't about that, it was to do with the refereeing or something.
Yeah, which I'm not really sure. But then, obviously, going back to almost a League Two player, calling him a League Two player, which is an insult, let's be honest, for any player in the Premier League, but especially someone as good as Erling Haaland. So I'm not really sure why Keane is so obsessed to attack him. Four goals against a Wolves team that was very welcoming, I thought. My skillman clearly opened the door every time to Erling Haaland. Here you go. Please be my guest. But they're doing the job. And KDB, Foden, Alvarez with a good finish, Doku coming out. It was a very, very impressive performance again. Thomas Tuchel, unlike many of his colleagues, decides to rest only some of his regulars against Stuttgart. Gab, they lost 3-1. Was it the right decision?
No, it was a stupid decision. It was a stupid decision which came back to hurt him because Guerrero had to come off early, which means you lose him for the Real Madrid game. Dyer, I'm assuming, will play because he's kind of like a cyborg.
He said he was not fit before this game either.
Oh, he wasn't fit even before the game?
He said he felt something in his hamstring, but he still played it.
So how much must he hate Dayo Upamecano in that context? This game is irrelevant. It's irrelevant even if you lose it, other than pride or whatever, because, look, they lost this game. They're still ahead of Stuttgart.
Yeah.
You've got bigger fish to fry. You're not going to win the title. I don't know if he's trying to prove a point. But a bunch of starters played. Kane played, Joshua Kimmich, Neuer. You know, the guys you really don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I know you're the rule breaker. I'm different. Look at me. I'm like, dude, like, stop.
I know.
As long as you're there, do what's best to win the Champions League. But I think he takes counterintuitiveness and contrarianness to the nth degree. Yeah, much, he may be a tactical genius, but sometimes it's over the top.
I agree.
Sticking with Bayern, Benfica boss Roger Schmidt is reportedly the latest to say Nein Danke to the job. This is assuming they did ask him. I don't know. It felt like they only got like his denial.
I know, but you don't put out a statement if... Do you know what I mean? If
why?
It hasn't been a first... Why? Are you
I'm tempted to do that. Now, the latest rumors, though, involve Erik ten Hag and Thomas Müller as player manager. With the legendary Hermann Gerland, of course, a.k.a. Der Tiger, as his assistant. Gerland, by the way, he's in charge of the B team. He's been an assistant coach.
He's
in his 70s, I think. Yeah. Which option do you like better, Jules?
Both are jokes, right? You're kidding me. You're joking with me.
This is what's being reported. This is where they are. Come on, you like Müller and Gerland
Tiger,
better than Ten Hag.
Oh, yeah. I want to see Müller and the Tiger together on the bench. For Ten Hag, who, again... I said it on the FC show on Saturday. Had another incredible press conference before the game against Crystal Palace, where he said that his Manchester United team this season was the most entertaining team in the Premier League because they create so many chances, which is factually a lie because if you look at the stats,
if you analyze.
Yeah, but you don't. Even if you don't analyze, it's not true. So another great stand-up comedian performance from Erik ten Hag with a mic in front of him. I can't believe that Ten Hag. I know he would be down the sixth or seventh choice, but still, please, Bayern, please. Milan are held to a 3-3 draw at home by Genoa late in the game as well. Gab, the ultras unhappy and they stage a protest against the club. Why are they so grumpy?
Yeah, so they had a banner up. They're unhappy with the ownership. They didn't cheer during the game and they left 5 minutes early, which I think they're entitled to do. I think they're unhappy. They made their voices very clear with Lopetegui, who was going to get the job. But then there was a 180. There was almost like a popular insurrection from the fans. Many of them want Pioli gone. I think their ideas are a bit confused about, I mean, the Lopetegui, I don't blame them, but I don't think their ideas are a bit confused. The alternative is now Sergio Conceição is the latest to have kind of come out and put forward. Paulo Fonseca still in the mix. He would be my choice if you really want to ask. Or keep Pioli, but whatever. There's the Mark Van Bommel option.
Yeah, but
no. It's a Dutch coach thing. Look, Van Bommel has hair or hasn't shaved his head. If he shaves his head, then you got to rethink.
No, whatever. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So there's just a sense of drift. And I'm like, dude, look at these 3 years. Look at the talent you've accumulated, realize that football's changed and you're on the right track. And don't go in and mess and try to reinvent the wheel. Aston Villa fall at Brighton 1-0 as Roberto De Zerbi gets his first win since March 10th. given the way things are going at Spurs, I'm not sure Unai Emery's going to care.
No, he won't, although he played a lot of his, talking about resting or not resting, rotating or not rotating. He played pretty much his stronger side in this game.
Yeah, but that's because he, I guess he thought Spurs were going to win at Anfield.
Well, maybe, or at least
I'm glad I don't get my betting tips from Unai Emery.
He thought Spurs are going to lose. Well, Liverpool, you can see that coming. If we win, then we are guaranteed Champions League football, which they're still not now. But Spurs would have to win all their three remaining
games.
They
have to come back against 7 points. Olympiacos.
Yeah, but you still have to go away. You have 2 goals deficit. So, you know, you could have rested a little bit more, but you're right. It looked like a bad defeat, but then because Spurs lost as well, you keep the gap at 7 points with 3 games to go for Spurs, 2 for you, with a much better goal difference, +9, I think they are over them. So you won't lose sleep at all about it. Chelsea destroyed West Ham 5-0. Gap between this and the Spurs win on Thursday night. Are things coming together now for Poch?
In terms of results, they certainly are. In terms of patterns of play, we've seen some of the more basic things. But look, they played two teams that are free-falling, right?
Yes.
Is worth saying. And they played them at home. But in terms of the individuals, the talented individuals are there. You just need to insert them in a way of playing where they do this regularly. Cole Palmer, of course, we know about. Madueke, I think, has really grown this season, giving you something different on the wing. Explains why Sterling doesn't play. So, yeah, they're on the right track. Newcastle stay ahead of Chelsea as they win 4-1 at Burnley. Jules, which of these two is going in the Europa League?
Well, they both have 3 games remaining. Gav, there's 2 points clear for Newcastle, 56 points to 54 for Chelsea. I think Newcastle have this now. They've got a bit of momentum, but it could be tight. Inter's first game as champions, seen them lose away to second bottom Sassuolo. Gav, Sassuolo are the only team now to have beaten them this season twice.
So this is going to be the answer to a future trivia question.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big a deal. Inter, of course, they celebrated their title. They had a big party. They played a bunch of the players who, you know, hadn't had that much playing time this season. Denzel Dumfries gives the ball away to Josh Doig, and boom, it's 1-0. Nobody really cares. It is a statistical quirk that they lost to the second bottom team twice. But Sassuolo need the points to stay up. And you know what? This is a big 3 points for them.
The fight against relegation is big.
Yeah, if you're Inter, look, just focus on extending Lautaro Martinez. That's all you need to do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nifty goal from Riquelme. Oh, the little turn.
Yeah,
almost
nice.
Juan Román. It's like his uncle, Juan Román.
Yeah.
Not his uncle, actually. And Atletico Madrid, without the suspended Antoine Griezmann, win away to Mallorca.
Yeah.
Does this pretty much locks up fourth place, right?
Yeah, you think so. They were a bit under pressure because Athletic Club de Bilbao won the day before. Not a good game at all. I didn't enjoy that. But I like the goal.
I like the turn.
Just for the goal.
I think the goal was deflected, by the way. But does it for me.
Borussia Dortmund played the reserves and a golden oldie like Marco Reus and rolled to a 5-1 win over Augsburg. Gab, do you want to celebrate the kids or Reus?
I want to celebrate Marco Reus, one of my all-time favorites. One of the guys I put in the list of really good Germans who I like.
Okay, yeah.
It's him, Albert Einstein.
Yeah, Raphael Honigstein, and that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of. No, yeah, there are others, of course, one of my favorite players. When I look back on his career, he's 34 now, he's going to leave the club, and just all those injuries, kind of like in his mid-20s, I think he paid a really hefty price for that, both in terms of Borussia Dortmund. And like, he won important stuff with Borussia Dortmund, so I'm not putting it down. Stuff that's maybe even more meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, he was part of the great Klopp team, of course, that won the title twice. But it does kind of leave you wondering what might have been if he'd not gotten hurt. Benjamin Sesko scores again in Leipzig 1-1 draw at Hoffenheim on Friday. Jules, you scored in 5 straight games, takes his league total to 12 goals in just 16 starts. The kid is only 20 years old. He's lived up to the hype, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. We need a bit more confirmation next season, but he's front two with Openda since Marco Rose has in has put them together has been really impressive. I know it's the cliche is like big guy, little guy, that kind of stuff. Like, but in a way, this is true. They complement each other quite well on the pitch, and he's not at the level of Openda in terms of goal scoring and the numbers yet. But on the other hand, as we've said, he hasn't started as many games as Openda too. So really, really interesting, let's put it that way. First full season like that for a team like Leipzig.
What I find interesting is also they play in a two, right?
Yeah.
So, and now as we know, there aren't many teams in Europe that play with a front two. If you were to compare him to Højlund, which I think is one obvious comp, I think Højlund's maybe 9 months older, something like that. How do you see the two?
Sesko and Højlund.
Yeah. Because it seems to me like I was thinking about, all right, next generation of, you know, post-Holland.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see. I wonder
if Højlund had played in a two this year, whether it might. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I know you're not going to do it with Bruno and the wingers and United, blah, 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 but like.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
Because Sesko's played in a one as well before.
His development, he's done both. For sure. I think he's more at ease in a two, though, to be fair. Mark Lautenberg has left his advisory role.
Advisory role.
Advisory role at Nottingham Forest. Just a few months into the job, Gab. Is he paying the price for the whole shoot at well affair and fiasco against Everton?
Yeah, I would say so. Look, I don't have a problem with ex-referees working for football clubs if their work for football clubs involves, and I'm sure so some of it is, and I'm not talking about Negreira and whatever. I'm talking like you actually work for, you're independent of the PGMO, you happen to be an ex-referee, you work for a football club. Maybe you advise them, like, you're getting this referee, these are his tendencies, watch out for this, you study referees, you help prepare them, blah, blah, blah. But if your role is going to be to try to exert pressure with the PGMOL by telling them, oh, no, Stuart Atwell is a Luton fan, which I presume they already know because he's disclosed it, then I don't see what the problem is. On top of that, it obviously hurt Forest, even though later he came out, Howard Webb admitted that the referee made a mistake and the VAR made a mistake, but it hasn't helped Forest at this stage.
For sure.
I'm not surprised that he's decided, all right, this isn't working here. And if he wants to do this, like I said, go do it, but focus on helping the players prepare for certain referees if you think it's necessary. Having been vetoed by the fans in Milan, Julian Lopetegui is now reportedly the favorite to take over from Davy Moyes at West Ham. In fact, Fabrizio Romano says the deal is done. Here we go, Fabrizio.
Here we go.
Jules, I imagine you're going to say he's an upgrade.
Yes! Finally! West Ham, well done. It took you some time. David Moyes, thank you for everything that you did for West Ham, especially the European trophy. It was great. It was time to go. Maybe it was a season too far. And I'm just looking forward to see what Lopetegui can do in that team. I think he's a really, really good coach. I can understand why West Ham went for him. I can understand why Milan wanted him to before the backlash from the fans. So I'm really happy to have him back in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he's a tremendous coach. I'm predisposed against him for obvious reasons because he's one of those coaches who's so tied to George Mendes.
Yeah.
And I think when you're so linked to a certain agent, I don't think it's helpful. But, you know, now that he's older at West Ham, maybe things are going to be a bit different. Doesn't feel like Mendes has imposed him on the club, I think.
I don't think
he has that kind of clout at West Ham. So I think he's a good signing.
Sandro Tonali, already banned for betting on football, obviously, as you know, has received an additional 2 month suspended sentence from the FA. What's this about?
So this is obviously four of the bets that he placed. He placed while he was at Newcastle. Now, he bet on Newcastle. He bet on Newcastle to win every time as part of accumulators or whatever. But, the thing to remember here that it's a suspended sentence, which basically means he's not actually going to be banned unless he decides to start betting again.
Yeah.
So this is all going to be effectively covered by the ban he received from the Italian FA. I guess the FA in this country felt that they had to go through it because these are offenses incurred in this country. But like I said, he will never serve this time. So as long as he doesn't bet again.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'll tell you why, if he bets again on football, he's done with the game.
Yeah.
So I think he realizes that. Mm. Harry Maguire is now injured too, which means Erik ten Hag is down to zero central defenders for the game against Crystal Palace this evening. Jules, I'm assuming even you will have some sympathy
now. Yeah, to be fair. And to be serious, I do. It can't be nice when you're a manager, whatever level, whatever team, to have so many injuries through the season, especially in one position, well, two positions indicated, but like, you know, the same job. It can't be nice when you prepare for a game when you still, by the way, are fighting to qualify for Europa League and there's a lot of teams around you. Your own future is also in doubt if you're Erik ten Hag. So it's not good. No Varane, no Lisandro Martinez, no Lindelof, no Maguire now.
No Luke Shaw.
No Johnny Evans, no Kambuala. I don't know.
Seven.
I mean, you Casemiro, who played there, as we saw, not well, but had to play there.
Who's the other one? Wan-Bissaka?
Yeah, I guess so. And
because they have so many fullback options too.
Not even, yeah. So Dalot, and I don't even know. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do. But yeah, it's not ideal. When you're going to play against a team like Crystal Palace, who are home, have been really good lately. Mateta, Olise, Eze, doing all really well. You don't want to get there with such a makeshift defense. Well, it's not even makeshift. It doesn't even come close. So,
you know when Mateta, like when they have those balls over the top and Mateta starts rumbling towards the ball? Like, you know, like those steamrollers that just
speed
and stuff? I'm just imagining Casemiro trying to keep up with him without fouling him.
I think I would let him go.
Oh, no, you deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Sporting beat Portimonense 3-0 and Benfica 4-2 Famalicão on Sunday. So Sporting are champions of Portugal again, Gab. It's not just about Ruben Amorim, though, is it?
No, although I'm going to talk to him in a minute because I think there are some things to say. I think it's Sporting's second title in 4 years.
Yeah, 21.
There are a lot of players who are either turned out to be really good, and we didn't think they would. I mean, Kjellman was at Lazio, was really talented player, but I didn't think he's not going to make the step up to Sporting, but he did.
Yeah.
Gyökeres,
of course,
former Coventry City star, all of a sudden in demand, scoring 27 league goals. It's like a goal a game for him, something like that. Obviously, Pedro Gonçalves gets a ton of hype. The guy I really like is Gonçalo Inácio at the back. And then they also have the man once called the English Messi, Marcus Edwards. So I think it's a likable team. On Ruben Amorim, we really took him to task. We were very mean to him.
But he deserved it.
He does. But I also want to shed some light on, I think we've seen with Amorim, we've seen with Lopetegui, like popping up one day here, the next day there. There is a process to how managers go to the next level when they're ready to move on. And what they do is they have their agent, who then gives a mandate to other people. And this is why you often see the same names linked everywhere. It's a game that you play. I don't think Amorim played this game particularly well. Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens. I'm surprised he hasn't been linked to Milan.
Yeah, me too, I was going to say.
I don't think he'd be a good fit for Milan with his style of football, but I wonder if that's what's next. If they keep their and we'll see how the Conceição thing goes, but it's an interesting one. More title winners to celebrate, Jules, so this one is a bit tougher. How about PSV Eindhoven and Peter Bosz, who locked up the Eredivisie? I mean, we've made peace with Peter Bosz. Right?
Yeah, we are.
We're giving him his
prize. And even he knows that, we criticized him when he deserved to be criticized, especially when he was in Lyon, when he was a shambles. He got back home. Maybe the air of Eindhoven and of, you know, the Netherlands changed something in him. Outstanding season, really, in the league. Only one defeat to NEC as well. You do wonder how they go the whole season unbeaten, apart from that one game that they lose 3-1.
The pride of Nijmegen.
Yeah, true. Even in the Champions League, doing decently by coming out of a group that maybe didn't look that easy. And then just coming up short against Dortmund in the last 16. Some great attacking returns, great goals. Bakayoko, amazing. Even Bad De Jong having a really good season, to be fair. Well done to him. Really well done. The whole Bosz ball and that craziness and the intensity worked really well this season. So deserves a lot of credit.
Are Liverpool appointing the correct bald Dutch managers with a four-letter word for a last name?
Let me think. Yes, they do.
Okay.
FIFA president Gianni Infantino was in Washington, D.C. last week. Gab, some found it odd that once he was there, he didn't meet with President Joe Biden.
Well, this is because, of course, the U.S. is hosting a World Cup with Mexico and Canada. Yeah. And Gianni Infantino, last time he was there, but he's been there before, he went and, you know, he met with Biden's predecessor and he likes meeting heads of state and putting them on his Instagram. I'm assuming Biden was maybe busy with some other things like the conflict in Gaza or the conflict in Ukraine or the conflict elections on college campuses or the elections. He did meet with other people. And this is an interesting thing, joking aside. He met with the Department of Homeland Security because one big thing with this World Cup is going to be the visa situation. Because obviously not everybody will be buying tickets from countries that have easy visa-free travel to the United States in particular. And right now there is a really, really big backlog. So the question is, how can they expedite it? Do you just, you know, especially with immigration illegal immigration being a big issue in the U.S., I'm sure it's just a matter of time with people saying like, oh, look, this guy's going to buy a ticket to Angola against Paraguay, and that'll get him into the country, and then he's never going to go away, you know. So that's a big issue. The other issue is obviously the last two World Cups, obviously in Qatar and Russia, you had a very strong central government that kind of said, okay, this we do this, and this goes. The U.S. isn't like that. You've got 50 states, there are different rules, games spread all over, plus, of course, Mexico and Canada. So I think there's a lot of logistical and legal stuff to sort through.
Definitely.
Luca Hernandez is out of the Euros for France. Jules, how big? I feel bad for him. I don't feel this is a big blow because you're not wanting for alternatives. But
No, you're right. However, Upamecano is not playing anymore and he's not fully fit. Konate, he's in and out. That team, Kwanzaa plays, not sure. Saliba, as we know, Deschamps is not the biggest fan, like a massive, massive fan. So it'd be very interesting to see who plays. So it is a blow, maybe more because of the mentality that he brings and how good he is in the squad. And with his brother, obviously, Theo, they are, I think, very important off the field. So it is a blow for that. Is his ACL on the other knee? I mean, you have to feel for the guy. And he got injured when Dortmund scored as well, trying to prevent Fulkrug from scoring. He'll be out for 8 months, 9 months, maybe. He had surgery already that was successful. Now we just have to wait. He's 28 years old now. He was having such a good season. It's a real, real, real shame for him and for France and for PSG, obviously. Inter Miami beat New York Red Bull 6-2 as Luis Suarez gets a hat-trick and Leo Messi bags 5 assists and a goal of his own. Gab, are you impressed?
Okay, so the issue I have with assists is like goals are something concrete, right? Some assists are total, I think, off-brand fugazi stats.
It's just a sideways pass and then the guy, like the Elliot goal, the Salah, we count as a Salah assist when, like, really.
One of Messi's assists was that, I think for the first or second goal, where, like, you know, the guy, I think he's a younger guy.
Rojas.
Yeah, beats a couple guys, great finish. But the other one in particular, there's one where he threads the ball to Luis Suarez. And by the way, you have to really time it because when you have one fast striker and one striker who is Luis Suarez at his age, I mean, how you adjust it? He's like, I got to put the ball there because that guy's going to get there quicker and the other dude is going to get there slower. And phenomenal. Scored a goal as well. I think, again, goal contributions, not a stat that impresses me. It's more the way he played and the way he does this. And Red Bull, by the way, really, really bad highlights I saw. But it's nice to see Emil Forsberg is.
True.
I don't see him as a New York guy, but hey, he does not feel like a big city guy. Really, he should be in the countryside somewhere, you know, living in the woods, like maybe under a mushroom, like a little elf.
Yeah, okay.
But whatever.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jules, Will Still has left Stade Rams. I feel like we've spoken about this guy so much.
Oh, we love Will.
Do we? Two wins in 14 games. Is that why he's gone, or is it the fact that other people elsewhere actually think he's really, really good and he's going to be somewhere else?
Yeah, a lot of people think he's really, really good. I think he started the season starting unraveling, you say? Or starting going bad?
Unraveling. The season was derailed? The season started unraveling.
When in his own interview, he said that, you know, he would like to come back to England and coach in the Championship in the Premier League.
Now you go back to Belgium. Isn't he half Belgian?
Yeah, half Belgium as well. But I think he preferred the Premier League. He's been in Belgium before. That's why maybe. And all those links with Sunderland, remember, when he was quite close to getting that job. And since then, he hasn't been the same. The team hasn't been the same as well. Like you said, terrible results. Apparently, they were just having a normal meeting, him and the kind of the CEO and the president. And then during that meeting, it came out that maybe it would be a good idea for everyone if he was just stepping down with only a few games to go.
Is his brother going with him?
Yeah, Nicolas is going. One of the two brothers that he has, because there's three boys. I think we will see him in the Championship next season. I don't know if he will be Sunderland, quite likely, because his agent is very close to the Sunderland owner. But I think he's great. He's still young and he will learn a lot from this season and especially the second half of it. But I think he's got a real, real, real talent.
Could he be the Ginger Nagelsmann?
He could be the Ginger anything, because I think he's really that good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for him. Gab, Will Ferrell has acquired a share in Leeds United. Are you happy? Are you a fan?
So am I a fan of Leeds United?
Or Will Ferrell?
No. Am I a fan of Will Ferrell, who plays the same character in every movie, and I just don't think he's funny? I'm sure he's a great person. This is not my
Anchorman,
humor.
No? Surely, Anchorman.
It's the same joke repeated over and over again.
It's not the same in Elf that is in Anchorman, trust me.
No, Elf is a little different, but there's some commonalities. Or the other...
I love you, Will.
Am I a fan of celebrities getting shares in Leeds United? And so that way, like, Leeds United... Because, look, if his name, instead of Will Ferrell, had been Will Ferrelly, who is some private equity nerd, hey, look, we wouldn't be talking about it on the show, right? But we are. You know... I think when there's a motivation there, and to be fair to him, he's also part owner of LAFC, so I think he's not just doing this to make a buck. He does not need the self-promotion. So I'm okay with it.
Okay.
What I find a bit sad, and there's another owner, actually, who I won't mention because I don't want to give him or his friend any publicity, I believe is also in the Championship, or maybe was in the Championship, who is such a star mucker that he goes and he gets athletes and says, oh, look, here's some shares. Come hang out with me in the owner's box and stuff. And then we'll get publicity. That bugs me. Okay. This, it does seem like Will likes football at least. So, yes, on that I can respect him.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Championship, the season is over. Ipswich are promoted, reportedly.
Yeah.
Leicester won Leicester had an open-top bus parade as well. Are you okay with that?
That's okay. Yeah, more than Jamie Vardy's young, very, very young daughter using the F word in front of everybody with the mic. But that's another story.
Oh, I was unaware of this.
Yes.
Very, very young. How young?
Maybe around 4 years old, something like that.
Okay, but he's growing up.
I don't know, mate. But anyway, I was just...
Who do you think Colleen Rooney would blame?
I don't know, well...
Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah, I'll have a pretty good idea.
Anyway, back to this. Ipswich are up too. Congratulations.
Yeah, we told you to show them some love and Kieran McKenna.
Reportedly. Leeds United, Southampton, West Brom, and Norwich are all in the playoffs. Who you got?
I mean, first of all, some love to Kieran McKenna and Ipswich.
We loved him last time when he told you they were almost promoted. Now they're promoted.
Amazing.
Why doesn't he go manage Manchester United?
Well, yeah, I think he's 37. I think he needs a bit more time. He needs a bit more experience in the Premier League, which he will get next season. But still an amazing job. Well done now. That is confirmed. In terms of the playoffs, Leeds, Southampton, West Brom and Norwich. If Norwich go up, you will have a derby. East Anglian derby, of course, with Ipswich would be pretty cool, pretty special.
The Tractor Boys against the Canaries.
Yeah, that's nice. Leeds and Southampton, obviously relegated from the Premier League like Leicester last season.
Is Ruben Selis still at Southampton?
No, he's not. nice Russell Martin, who
he's
doing a really good job. Did a really good job. Didn't start so well. Did an amazing job then. The end was a little bit, you know. But I think for me, Leeds have the best squad. Daniel Farke has got promoted before.
Twice, I think.
Yeah, twice. And they are really, for me, the best team of those four. But as we know, the playoffs are unpredictable. That's the beauty of the playoffs.
You haven't given me any nuggets about West Brom? Anything you need to know about West Brom, just in case they come up? Should I go do some research?
No.
Okay.
So after Chelsea lost to Liverpool in midweek last week, Emma Hayes appeared to concede the Women's Super League title to Manchester City. But guess what? Now Chelsea put 8 past Bristol City, and Manchester City lose at home to Arsenal in the last minute of the game. Has Emma Hayes changed her mind?
Yes, the woman who looks like, sounds like, whose last name sounds like something out of Dungeons and Dragons, Black Genius.
Yes.
Coming using her dark arts.
Incredible. I don't know how City let that one go.
To turn it around. I think this is a big, big screw up.
Massive.
From City, obviously.
Massive.
And now it's all set up. Chelsea have that game in hand. It is against Tottenham Hotspur. I don't believe Tottenham Hotspur's women's team are as good as their men's team.
No, but they're not bad.
But it still is a derby. And then last week of the season, how about this? Chelsea away to Manchester United. Assuming Spurs win that, they would be level on points. Sorry, assuming Chelsea win that, they'd be level on points. And they would have the edge in goal difference. And City are at Villa away. I mean, this literally could come down to goal difference, which is a horrible way. And I'm going to put out to decide a title. Listen, I'm going to say this again. Women's club football, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? The WSL, they only play 22 league games in a season. Yeah. There's a reason for it. You don't need to follow the same rules as the men. Honestly, wouldn't it be so much cooler if they finish level on points, they say, screw this goal difference nonsense, especially because in the Women's Super League, there's a big disparity between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom.
That's true.
Chelsea putting 8 past Bristol City.
I mean, Bristol are one of the worst teams I've ever seen at this kind
of level. Rather than have that, and they're both playing teams that have nothing to play for, I assume, in United and Villa, why don't we, if you level on points, hey girls, or women, let's go meet at Wembley, at Old Trafford.
Nice.
Wherever you want to do that, and let's have a one-game playoff. Let's be different from the men's game. Yeah. Men's game, whatever, they got to do this, right? I mean, I haven't looked at women's calendar. I don't know. Women's Nations League, whatever. But I do know for a fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chelsea aren't in the Women's Champions League anymore,
nope.
Right? They're not in the FA Cup anymore.
Nope.
Are Manchester City in the FA Cup?
Nope.
No. Oh, look. Why can't they go and do this?
Yeah.
Cheap tickets, television, prime time, you know.
Yeah, that'd be a good
idea. Turn it into, get creative. And let's see these two teams, these two very good teams, go and face off for all the marbles.
I would have liked that.
Paul Pogba is reportedly turning to acting during his
band.
Tell me more, Jules.
Yeah, last week, Gabby filmed his part in a movie called 4 Zeros, who's coming out in April 2025.
It's a sequel to 3 Zeros, I presume.
Indeed, that came out just 20 years ago, a little bit more than 20 years ago, which was a big success in France. I remember it's a movie around football, obviously. Ronaldinho had a little cameo in it, which was lovely. We all loved that movie. And now they're filming, as you said, the next one, the 4-0, and Paul is in it. And apparently he was very good as an actor. Very kind, very relaxed, in a good mood. Fabien Otoniente, who is the director of this movie, who was the director of the first one as well, loving Paul Pogba's participation in it. So I can't wait to see him. He's not a footballer anymore until his appeal and a cast. But he's very much an actor now, so good luck to him in his new career.
I mean, he's an intelligent guy who's obviously died some issues, but I like the idea of him reinventing himself. I wonder
if he plays a coach with, youth teams and talent in the Paris area and stuff.
Do we know any other French World Cup winners who've become actors? We work with one on the FC show, Frank Leboeuf.
Yeah, that's true, of course. Yeah,
so
he
can do it. I'm pretty sure Paul probably can't sing as well as Frank can, but he can do other things.
True,
so
true.
That'd be pretty cool.
True. Eric Cantona as well, another one to follow if you want.
Yeah, but I don't like him.
Okay.
Nor do I like Vinnie Jones. That's why. But I do like Frank Leboeuf. That's why I mentioned that.
Gab, the Olympics will be held in my hometown of Paris, of course, this summer. And then we get the World Friendship Games in Russia in September. The only reason I'm bringing this up. I mean, I didn't bring this up. You wrote that as a quick hit. Is the guy who is organizing them, he's a familiar face.
Yes.
I don't know the story at all. Who's taking part?
I had no interest in this at all. Okay. So the World Friendship Games is kind of like, because obviously some Russian athletes are banned from the Olympics, depending on the sport. Like, you're going to do this. They're going to have cash prizes. It's in September. But you know who's putting it all together?
No.
Jerome Valcke, apparently.
Okay.
Who, of course, was the FIFA Secretary
General. He's out of jail.
Fired from FIFA.
He was in jail. But, maybe not.
$10 million bribe. I think from his perspective, you're so toxic in sports at this stage in the Western world. You got to pay the bill somehow.
Yeah.
Why not go work,
in Russia?
And I guess he's also not important enough to have been sanctioned, so he can apparently do this. Cristiano Ronaldo bags a hat trick as Al Nassr beat Al Wahda in the Saudi Pro League. Jules, 52 goals in 52 games for him this
incredible
season. And it would be 53 if he hadn't let Sadio Mane take
that
penalty.
That's very true. We will never make you forget that, people. Erling who? Kylian who? Who else? What? Lautaro who? Harry who? You know, Cristiano is still the best striker in the world.
Clearly. Okay. I'm going to...
That's a lot of games, by the way, to play at 40.
Yeah, I'm going to raise a couple of issues. Well, first of all, I will point out that the best thing he did wasn't the hat trick. It was the lovely Mother's Day message to Georgina and to his own mom. But I'm joking aside. I'm starting to wonder about the level of the Saudi Pro League. Because
Are you wondering? I'm not wondering.
Oh, yeah. I know. Don Hutchinson says it's brilliant. Of course,
really?
Paid to commentate.
Oh,
on
yeah,
it.
That's why.
Okay, but I would just say this. What if your average... Do we think Ligue 1 is twice as good as the Saudi Pro League?
Well, it's different. You can't really say it's twice as good, but it's more physical, it's more tactical. Yeah, there's more level for sure than the Saudi.
All I'm saying is if it's twice as good, then half his goals total, and he would have 26 goals in Ligue 1. Right?
Yeah, it depends on what team he played. I mean, I guess Al Nassr.
He doesn't pay for the best team in the Saudi Pro League.
Okay, the second best team.
Yeah, it was far behind the best
team. Well, I know, but still. So he would play not for PSG, but for Monaco in Ligue 1. Yeah, I think he would score a lot of goals.
He'd score 26 goals.
I don't know, but Wissam Ben Yedder, who is 31, who is quite old and doesn't run much, he's on 20 something, or just about 20 in Ligue 1.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Cristiano would score.
So, if you wanted to come back to Ligue 1 and you were willing to play for Wissam Ben Yedder's paltry salary, you would score 25 goals.
I think it's still great. Yeah, the league is not good in Saudi. The level is not good, especially when you play a team like Al Wahda, who is really bad. But you still have to score those goals, I guess, you know. No, you're not convinced.
Okay. No, in Ligue 1, you play against Clermont, who, you know.
Very true. Very true. Gab, you like your pitch invasion, so tell us all about the one in Roda this weekend.
So, I like the joyous, happy pitch invasions, obviously, right? I know there's some people who absolutely hate them, but I think a lot of footballers actually like them if they're done in the right spirit and there's obviously the right security measures. I don't want to get into health and safety arguments over this. But Roda are fighting, they're from Kerkrade, and they're fighting to get promoted to the Eredivisie. And basically what happened is they're competing with Groningen to go up. I guess they thought the game was over.
Well, yeah, they played at the same time.
Playing at the same time. Everybody runs on the pitch to celebrate. And then Groningen score minute 95. In their game, they thought the game was over, and they're like, oh, wait, we're all celebrating for nothing.
Yeah, the Roda speaker announced that Groningen lost and that the promotion was on. So the fans believed him. Obviously, why would you not believe him?
So then they all go back, and then they get the message that the team that Groningen were playing, Telstar, had scored.
Yeah.
So then they're like, yay, it's back on again. So they all come back, and it's like, oh, no, wait, disallowed.
You don't make it up, really.
Somebody's really, really messing with them. But the good news is, I believe they're playing Groningen next weekend?
Yeah.
So they'll know what Groningen is doing. And I'm kind of surprised, too, the speaker of the stadium. Does nobody here carry a smartphone?
I just don't know what happened. It was the same this weekend when I think the BBC Sports website wrote a story that City was closing in on the title after beating Arsenal. Clearly going early. Too early. So sometimes you wonder
what happens.
Closing
in, but...
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, yeah, beating Arsenal.
Yeah, closing in on the title right. after beating Arsenal.
Right.
So clearly that they must have pressed the button when they were still 1-0 up before Black Seniors scored those two late goals.
You're talking in the Women's Super League.
Yeah,
in case anybody's, yeah. Jules, no football in France on Sunday, May 5th. I think it's worth reminding people why.
Yeah, you're right, Gabby. Yeah, it's the case since the tragedy in Furiani, which is the Bastia Stadium back in 1992. So May 5th, 1992, when before a French Cup semi-final between Bastia and Marseille, a stand that they built to increase the capacity of the stadium, temporary build that they would have taken down after the game, collapsed before the game, killing 18 fans and injuring more than 2,000 in the most horrific scenes that you could see. I remember being a kid watching, being ready to watch on television, and the game obviously never happened, and that tragedy has stayed on. And I had to pay tribute to those people who passed away or were affected by this tragedy. There's never any game on May the 5th, whatever day of the week that is. So the remaining game of the Ligue 1 game week, if you want, will be played on Monday, and there was nothing on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, stadium tragedies, obviously, from Hillsborough to Bradford to Glasgow, these are things that I think really, really mark us. And, you know, I know it's a trite phrase to say, but nobody should go to a football match and not come home.
Yeah.
I think that's very true.
And Gab, former Argentina coach Cesar Menotti passed away aged 85 this weekend. He's best remembered for delivering the 1978 World Cup.
Yeah, and there's a... he forever had this whole kind of duality with Carlos Bilardo, who won the 1986 World Cup, between, you know, Bilardo, the ultimate pragmatist.
Yeah, and two very different coaches.
If you want the two souls of Argentine football, right, the hard-ass, dark art side with Bilardo. And then you had Menotti, which was the more romantic, expansive side. Some people might have said football of the left, football of the right. However, the irony in this is, of course, when Bilardo did it, he had Diego Armando Maradona. When Menotti did it, he didn't, but he had a World Cup that was set in Argentina with under a military dictatorship, with a lot of questions about some of the things that happened.
Some of the game, yeah.
And so on. So I guess it just shows you so many contradictions in life. But I never met the man. I know people who have. They said he was a gentleman, fascinating to talk to. Later went to Barcelona, had some success there. Certainly a great figure who leaves a mark. Cesar Menotti, gone at 85. Jules, this brings us to an end.
Aww.
But you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You got to come back on Thursday.
Yes.
Because it's the Champions League return semifinals. You and I are going to be in Paris for Paris
Saint-Germain
against Borussia Dortmund. And then on Wednesday, Bayern München against Real Madrid. Until then, love the game. Love your neighbor. Love yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.